Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Stu.
And this is Bad Screenplays.
We've been writing screenplays for years, but couldn't get anyone to read them.
On each episode, I read an unsolicited script.
And I read one. We pull them apart and decide if they're any good, but mostly try and have fun with them.
Maybe these screenplays will attract attention or get greenlit by First Draft Productions, our own fictional production company. This is quite recent. I don't when this episode comes out, this might be slightly old news, but this blew my mind to pieces.
Go on.
Basically, I haven't listened to that tech podcast you'd advised me to listen to yet, Stu, but definitely we'll get around to it. But we talk about technology on this show quite a bit. I'm a layman, totally. So they've condensed down entire catalogue of various artists into MIDI form. And then they fed it into a supercomputer. And the supercomputer has spat out songs by these artists.
No. Oh, and no way.
And they're terrifyingly good.
No!
It's fucking frightening.
No! Also, they like play the entire like Smashing Pumpkins catalogue in MIDI.
Nirvana, Jimi Hendrix, Amy Winehouse, The Doors, and these sounds like new. Sounds like a new Nirvana song. It's
Are you serious?
Frightening.
And what, it comes out like MIDI, or it comes out like Jim Morrison singing?
No, it sounds good. It sounds like the band.
No.
I mean, it sounds a bit like it's been done, like some of the songs that I do on this. You can tell a lot of the instruments are fake. The drums sound a tiny bit fake because they're in MIDI form. But still, you know, it's still like if you heard it on the radio and you were like, and you across the other side of the room, you go, oh yeah, that's a new Nirvana song.
Yeah, oh my God, deep fake band music. That's insane. I bet if, like I just said, I bet if they did the Smashing Pumpkins, they would still only get 2 stars.
Yeah. They should do while Billy Corgan's still alive, just to piss him off.
No, yeah, no, it's the only one that gets 5 stars.
Oh, yeah, because it wasn't him.
Because it wasn't him, yeah.
Oh, I don't know what would be funnier, but I think it's funnier if it only gets 2 stars still. Like, the complete culmination of everything that Smashing Pumpkins is still not good enough.
Yeah, because then all his... Yeah, then everything he was saying about it being about him is wrong, because it had nothing to do with him. Oh, that's terrifying, though. But also great if you really like a band that isn't making music anymore.
Yeah. It's like, on one hand, you go, okay, this is genuinely good. And I found myself singing along, like, the Nirvana song, like it's an actual song, you know.
Wow.
It's good. The Jimi Hendrix one, again, it's just like, just Jimi Hendrix's, like, oeuvre and his, like, pronunciation on his, like, the fretboard and stuff like that. But part of me thinks, could they just create new music for artists and sell it now? you know.
You never get to meet, really, your, you know, unless you're special, your sort of musical icon. So, yeah, if you never met them and you just listened to their music and it came across, how would you know the difference?
Yeah, exactly.
I saw, actually, you know what I saw? There's a website as well where you can buy a face. They've done the same thing. I think it was on BBC Click. But you can buy a face of somebody, and it's video, it's moving, and it's not, they're not real people. And once you get told they're not real, you go, oh my god, that's insane. Like, you can drag every characteristic about this, but company will buy one for, oh, this is our head of tech, you know, those websites where they have all those people.
Oh shit, yeah.
So you're not actually infringing on any real person, you're just you're buying these faces of bots. So if you did that with a band, had the music made by a computer, oh my god, yeah, what's real and what's not?
It's hard to differentiate, isn't it? You know, because God knows where this will go. Like, because, you know, you speak to your bank and then the AI speaks to you and sorts your problem out, and it's quite good as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, what's not to say you could do like a video call with your bank, but the bank's like some face.
Oh my god, you know what? I watched Google do that, and they go, all the woman said was like, oh, hey, Google, book me a hair appointment for next Wednesday. And then behind the scenes, the phone, which they played on the stage, was like, it made the call to the salon. He goes, hello, Snippy Snaps Hair Salon, Chantel speaking. And the bot went, hello, hi, yeah. I'm calling to make an appointment for next Wednesday. And the person had no idea. And she goes, you know what? Hold on, let me go ask the manager. And the computer went, mm-hmm, yep. Oh, shit. It was mad.
Just like a bot of a baby screaming in the background as well.
Yeah,
baby,
right?
Bot.
Right.
Whoa, uh-huh. That's mental. It's crazy because, you know, you look at deepfakes and sometimes they're really hard to figure out, and it's making fake music, and people are probably paying money to go and watch fucking a Tupac hologram on a stage playing his new hits, new song.
Yeah, California, yeah. Da-da-da.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they could probably feed the entire back catalogue of friggin' Biggie Smalls and put a hologram of Biggie Smalls on and go, he's going to play his new song, and people will go and watch that. People will pay $100 to go and see that.
They'd sell out a stadium, no doubt.
Oh yeah,
right.
That's insane. Anyway, looking at the future, Stu.
I know
mental. So yeah, that's what I've been looking at like today. It just blew me mind. I heard the song on the radio, they were talking about it, and I was like, oh my god.
Well, the dust settling around me with this house move. I just moved house, as you know, and we talked about it before. Horrible, terrible experience. Just everything, you know. Nothing to write home about, but just, oh, it's horrible, isn't it? Boxes, it's schlepping and bills and gas numbers and all kinds of, ugh.
What's that? Is that Maslow's pyramid of, like, contentment or something where, you know, it starts at the bottom and it's like safety, and then there's like somewhere to live, and then you've got like steady income, and then you've got creativity, and then contentment, and like at the very top it's the most advanced one. And if one of them's missing, then your whole life goes upside down. I feel like when you move house, every single one of them is just completely shaken up, and your brain just can't handle it.
They've just pulled the bottom half of that pyramid out, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just falling to pieces, it's the worst.
So yeah, just getting all that sorted. But I don't know if I mentioned it to you on the podcast. I've done something very grown up and very, I don't know, I don't even know if it's me yet. I'm going to take a golf lesson.
Okay.
Right? I don't know. Look, I'm with, I think it was Bill Burr that said, like, it's not a real sport unless you have to change your shoes to do it. And you don't have to change your shoes for golf. Look, I've never played before. I've never swung anything, but my buddy said, There's a course near us, and you know, when lockdown, you know, when we can go out and do this stuff, you want to go and play a round of golf? I thought, never done it. You're right, I'd never done it. You get to spend the day outdoors walking around.
People will throw that stupid Mark Twain quote at you every time you tell them you're playing golf as well.
What's that?
Like a good walk ruined or something. Like, yeah, oh yeah, it's funny. Never heard that one before.
Oh, right. Oh, God's sake. Well, look, there's a, if you do well, there's a bar at the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
And sun is out, maybe you get a tan. So,
it's great. I love it. I've been playing golf for years. It's the
have
best.
Have you? I didn't know. Okay, good. All right,
it's
good.
It's so good. If there's one sport that's even remotely punk rock, despite being quite elitist and anti anything and everything, like a load of punks play golf, you see like...
I never thought of that. Like the Vandals playing golf.
Yeah, yeah. No effects. Going to do a round of golf and then getting dead drunk after. It's the best.
Oh, okay, right. Done. As I've never really picked up a club before, I sign up for this 10 lesson starter pack, right?
Okay.
10 lessons, 10 weeks, beginner to, you know, I just want to know the rules so I don't make a fool of myself. I'm not looking to, you know, win any tournaments. I just want to, you know what I'm doing. But the guy calls me, he goes, hey, you've signed up for my course. I went, yeah. He goes, what kind of clubs you got? I was like, none, no clubs. I haven't got any. I'm beginner, total beginner. He goes, all right. I guess I can bring some extra clubs. And then,
fucking hell.
I know, he goes, so where are you? Where are you with your golf? I was like, nowhere. I've never picked it. He goes, he sounded totally bummed out, like, that he's actually going to have to deal with a total
like he's
going
to have to do his job and teach you how to play golf.
So look, I'm sure it'll be fine. I'll get over that. I'll let you know how it goes. But that's my thing this week. I'm actually going next week, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good stuff. Have you ever been to a driving range?
No, never.
Nothing?
The only time I can ever remember, like, someone handed me a club and I'd, like, swung and it just either dug into the mud before the ball or completely missed.
No way.
Yeah,
no
never,
way.
Never.
It's I played a tiny, tiny bit when I was younger, like, nothing much at all, and then decided to take it up about, must have been about 6 or 7 years ago. And I haven't played 6 or 7 years worth of golf. For the first 2 or 3 years, I played quite a lot, and then I've done virtually nothing for the past few years. So I'm no golfer at all whatsoever. It's also the Masters starting as we're recording this the weekend, which is dead exciting because you get to watch golf the more you understand it. And the Masters is just fucking great. Anyway, anyone who's not interested in golf, fast forward.
So I
went to the driving range loads, and the first time you go into a golf course by yourself to play around the golf with other golfers there to tee off, it's genuinely terrifying.
Really?
Because you're there at the tee on the first hole. There's someone behind you waiting for their go, and they're all stood there leaning on the clubs watching you, and you're about to tee off, and you go, oh my God.
Oh no, really?
And then you're just like spooning into like, just like a daisy cutter for like 50 yards, and you're like, oh shit. You just trudge along and get it. It's a nightmare. But the couple of times when you catch it clean and it just flies and you're just like, oh, it's the best.
I'm imagining it's like when a batter like makes perfect contact with a baseball and it just, you know, that noise, that clunk of the wood on the, and it's, you know, it's the sweet one. It's out of the park sort of thing, you know, like.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. All right, cool.
I did it once before we move on, caught it, amazing. I was like, when you catch it clean, when there's absolutely no, like, vibration through your hands, it's just like a tiny click.
Really?
Like,
so,
sometimes you get a lot of vibration and you've shanked it and it just rattles you a bit and you're like, oh, but when you catch it perfect, it's like a little tiny little click and it makes that noise and you go, and you're looking for miles and then a couple of seconds pass and then it goes... and just drops about 4 feet in front of you.
Oh, no.
You just
sent
it straight up in the air. Amazing.
All right, I'll let you know how I do.
Yeah. Good, man. It'd be good to play around anyway when you buy clubs.
Punk rock. I know. I've got a theory about the clubs as well, and it's like Kendrick's and the guitar thing. I'm sure I'm totally wrong. But Jimmy played a right-handed guitar...
Mm-hmm.
upside down, strong for a lefty. Yeah. Or did he learn reverse strong? I forget. But he only played that one guitar, right? He wasn't doing that thing where he finished one song, lifted the guitar off, handed it to a tech, got
No.
He became the master of his instrument.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Why do you need 12 different clubs? Can't you do it with a driver and a putter? Really?
No, it's like music gear. You just get so much fun out of buying more stuff. It's exactly like owning musical equipment, and you just want all more stuff, and you want the best stuff, and you get excited when you're buying it. It's one of the best things about golf, buying new gear, I swear to God.
Okay, all right.
Speak to me in like when you're knee deep in it, and yeah, we'll talk about buying.
I've already ordered my MAGA hat because I guess that's what you have to wear, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, cool.
That Caribbean enthusiasm when he starts wearing a MAGA hat because he doesn't want anyone to speak to him.
Brilliant. They leave him alone.
Yeah, it's so good. No one sits next to him in the restaurant.
It's great.
Oh, that's amazing. Anyway, okay. So, as per usual, Stu, I can't remember whose turn it is to read the script first.
I read the young lady's script that we got sent last week.
Correct.
Last. So I am going first today.
Okay.
With a script that I've just got from you.
Yep.
Very biblical.
For it is written.
No, I added that bit. It's called For It Is Written. Gives nothing away. Any insight here?
It's actually a mystery. So I don't really want to say anything about it. It's quite short. It's a mystery. So it's about people discovering something. So I will leave it at that.
All right. Does it say who it's from? No one.
No. Anon.
Anon. Cool. All right. Fade in. External beach. Night. Oh, it's on. Okay. A beautiful, long, straight stretch of white beach. It is a pleasant, windless day. It's not night then, is it?
No. Completely windless, like.
Yeah.
That'd be quite jarring. That's just absolutely no wind.
I think that's what they say about, like, the middle of a hurricane or just after the atom bomb's gone off or something. I don't know. You'd imagine it would feel weird. Like something's about to happen.
Yeah, definitely. Like that episode of Rick and Morty where he gets his laser set out and makes the perfectly 100% set of like nanometer flat surface.
Rick, okay. He won't stand on any other.
Yeah. And he stands on an oval surface and it's like he's on the edge of a mountain or something.
Yeah, he just wants to go back. It's like that.
Windless.
No wind. Crowds of people fill the strand. Sand. A brother, 8, and sister, 7, leave their blanket and run for the water. Chase each other. Play tag. A woman, mid-50s, and her dog are romp at the water's edge. She throws a stick out into the ocean. The dog, a Jack Russell, jumps into the waves after it.
A woman and her dog are romp at the water's edge.
Yeah, are romp.
That made me laugh. Imagine announcing, like, mid-sex, like, for now, we are romp. Like, it's a state of being, you are romp. With the dog, with a Jack Russell.
With a Jack Russell. We are romp. There are also college kids, and they fill their own section. Alcohol in hand with music they only understand. Fills the air. Should be
on cake.
Only Clarky cake. Yeah.
I don't know Clarky cats, yo.
They're on cake.
Are you the buzz?
Yeah. Oh man, I watched one of those the other night.
Brass Eye. Anyone who hasn't watched Brass Eye, please just watch it.
Yeah.
Oh god. Cake. Where that cake music is like a horrible sound, and it goes, and this is what it sounds like to people who want a cake, and just goes, just like
yeah,
a tiny little blip,
because time is expanded or whatever. Yeah,
when you're on cake.
2 young people break away from the others. They are Arnold Buckler, 22, average looks, sweet smile. And Teresa Romano, 21, easy on the eye, and all natural.
Natural.
They make their way for the ocean line. Do you think this was written by a bot?
We've had a couple of scripts about the beach and human beings.
Yeah, three seasons of Happy Days into it or something. And yeah,
Arnold Buckler. That does sound very like, you know, right. 19. When was your Happy Days was filmed? Made in the '80s, wasn't it? Or the '70s?
Certainly '70s. Yeah, I mean,
'70s.
Yeah. Someone's about to jump a shark, I think, on this beach. Arnold, hey, you want to go for a swim? Teresa looks inviting. They turn around and glance at their drunken friends. One friend approaches, bottle in one hand, dragging scuba gear in the other. He's here to party. Oh, yeah. Michael Travers, 22, face like a mule, puts both arms around Arnold and Teresa.
An actual mule.
Yeah. He leans into Teresa. Michael, how about you and me grab the scuba gear and find our own little treasure in the ocean? Teresa, I wouldn't go with you if you were the last man on Earth. Arnold laughs. Michael leans into Arnold.
Michael?
Michael? Michael? he likes American things now. Michael, how about me and you then?
Cup of beans.
A cup of beans. I'll put a sausage in an oven for a scooped beans out. Arnold, you're not... No, okay, sorry, that was a Partridge tangent. Let's go back.
Too early.
It's too early. Michael, how about me and you then? Arnold, you're not my type.
He'll definitely romp with it. Michael is romp with anyone, isn't he?
He will make romp, yeah. Oceanside. Have it your way. Here, you go have fun, kids. Remember, I get half of whatever you find.
No, you don't.
Nah. Michael drops the scuba gear and then saunters back to the crowd, bottle raised, and starts singing with the rest of them. Arnold nods to the scuba gear.
Why does he just pick it up? Just nodding at it?
Just nodding at it, like a snake to an apple.
Just rolls it along instead. Yeah.
Just nods. Moments later, Teresa and Arnold are geared up. They run headlong into the inviting sea, holding hands until they're submerged. Behind them, we hear the beery chorus of drunken friends singing It's the End of the World by R.E.M.
By R.E.O. Speedwagon.
I mean, have you ever thought about, like, if you were on an aeroplane or something and you were listening to your music and the plane was going to go down? I used to go on lots of aeroplanes. I was like, what song would I really hate to go, oh no, this can't be the last thing I hit, like, playing on my iPhone or something?
Yeah,
Michael Stipe would be up there.
You're not a fan?
Not a fan. I used to love REM, but I don't know.
I'm sure I heard somebody talking about this. Like, sometimes you might play something that's just popped into your head on Spotify, and then Spotify decides that you like this music. And I've got a big, big problem with that, because then at the end of your year, like, Spotify highlights, these songs pop up. But it's like, no, I just felt like listening to that song at that particular moment. Just, or you might be doing, you're writing a quiz or something or whatever. But I always think, if you listen to one of those songs and then you maybe crashed or you got ran over, and people said, oh, what was he listening to just before he died? And it was like fucking Good Charlotte or something, like, and you end up with that at your funeral, you know?
Yeah, Lash Stars of the Rich and Fame.
Should be. Maybe we should rob them. And you had to put that at your funeral. Oh, my God.
He died doing what he loved.
And they put black and white flowers in your gravestone or something.
Made. Yeah. On your knuckles. Made in black and white flowers. Fucking hell. Wasn't he dating or married someone? One of them?
Oh, God. I think one of them is married to Cameron Diaz, I think.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Writing songs about breaking into rich and famous people's houses and robbing them and then marrying film stars.
Yeah, one of Charlie's angels.
Doesn't quite wash. Yeah. One of the angels.
Yeah, Benji Madden. Cameron Diaz's husband. And it looks like they're still married.
Wow.
That's mad, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's I remember, like, used to go to this rock club and talking 20 years ago now, how wild that shoe was like,
yeah,
around 20 years ago.
That's in Liverpool. Mad.
When Good Charlotte were popular and people were dressing up like Good Charlotte, and I just remember thinking, oh my God, what are you doing?
Bad Charlotte.
Bad Charlotte. Bad Charlotte.
Yeah. Oh well, okay. External. Ocean. Continuous. Arnold and Teresa dive amongst exotic fishes and sunken ships. Arnold touches some coral and it breaks away.
Shouldn't do that.
No. Straight on him.
He's not getting a minute, this fella, is
what he? What an arsehole. An angel fish approaches Teresa's helmet.
Is she in a helmet? Underwater?
Yeah. No, it's a scuba helmet. Is she wearing one of those old, like, brass?
Yeah. Maybe they are, you know.
Weighs like 50 kilos of metal and glass. Maybe. She watches on as it seems to kiss her mask and then swim on. Arnold gives a thumbs up as she smiles a gentle smile. Something catches Arnold's eye. A light protrudes from between rocks. He signals to Teresa. They follow. What does that look like? Just waving his hands in the air.
Anyone's guess?
They get close. Notice a huge opening. Hesitate, then enter. It's a cave of sorts. Regardless... It's a cave. Regardless of what may lie ahead, Arnold follows the light. Teresa close behind. Yeah. Follow the light, Arnold. Hey, Arnold. Hey, football head.
Movie football head. Oh, my God. I watched so much of that.
Yeah. What was his mate called?
Gerard.
He makes his way to the surface of the cave, then realizes he can remove his mask. Teresa does the same with her helmet.
Teresa realizes she cannot.
She cannot move her head. Yeah. Arnold, this is fucking cool. Oh my God, there's daylight through those. That must be the beach, says Teresa. Arnold moves in closer.
So it's not nighttime. Definitely established that.
It's not nighttime, is it? Nope. And what's he moved in closer to? Oh, to Teresa. Arnold. A little alone time? The kiss passionately, and it starts to get heated. Oh, it's heating up. But then the cave goes pitch black. What the fuck? Arn, I can't see a thing. Put your mask back on. We're getting out of here.
Somebody just doesn't want to see them. Get it on, do they?
No.
No.
No, God, no. Click. This is scary, says Teresa. A small light bursts through the cave and illuminates enough for their escape. What is going on? Maybe someone didn't pay their electric bill down here. says Arnold. Let's just go back to the beach, says Teresa. It's no time for jokes, Arnold.
No.
Nah, come on. Okay. They put their masks back on. Teresa points to the exit in... Oh, no, they've got a light now. I was going to say in the pitch black, but no. They both appear from the cave, hold hands as they rise to the surface of the ocean. Oh. Slowly, their heads emerge above water. They scan the entire beach. Everyone is dead.
Whoa.
Hello. Oh, for a minute there, I thought you sent me a boring script about two people who went scuba diving. I'll just repeat that. They get up to the surface of the water, they scan the entire beach, and everyone is dead. Teresa lets out a huge scream. Something knocks into her. It's the Jack Russell. Motionless eyes sunken into its head.
Oh, God.
What's in the water?
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you're in a swimming pool and there's like a massive dead insect and you're trying to like paddle it away, but it just keeps getting closer and you're accidentally paddling it closer. Maybe she's doing that with this Jack Russell that's been romped to death.
I was in southern Lebanon in 2000 and whenever they had the war. And there's this town called Tyre. And we're sitting there working, and it's the most... It's a summer in the Middle East on the Lebanese coast bordering Israel. And the sky is like the most beautiful blue. There's no clouds. Sun's beaten down.
I mean, like, it's like unbearably hot, or was it like...
Okay. No, Mediterranean hot, nice.
Ah, okay, great.
And there's this little cove by this hotel, and the water, I have a photo somewhere, the water was this crystal blue that I've never... Like, it was so...
Whoa.
Stunning. Like, unbelievable. And this is like horseshoe bay, and we're just so hot. So I say, I'm going to go jump in. I'll be back in a minute. So I go down to the beach and I jump in this water and I swim out a little, like 10, 20 meters, a bit more, you know, and just sort of treading water, paddling, going, oh my God, this is so good. And then you know, looking down on the water is one thing. In the water, it's because your eye line's now in line with, you know, the waves lapping and everything. Big shit wrapped in toilet paper.
Oh no.
Coming to like Bob. I was like, oh no, oh God, no. And I looked to the other side, plastic bag with like wet wipes. I was like, ah. So I managed to get out of there before I had to deal with any of that. But yeah, what a shame.
Oh man. Just ruined a nice perfect moment.
I know. It was gorgeous. Well, I mean, aside from what else was going on, but yeah, I know, terrible, wasn't it?
Do you think it had been dumped from a boat or a ship or something, or what?
Nah, man.
Yeah. Why was it there? That's crazy. A friend of mine's a train driver, and he's listened to this podcast a couple of times actually, and he said to me that the British railway network, just in the middle of like the main line, is one of the most unsanitary places you could possibly imagine.
No,
because they just dump it all on the track.
What, out of the train toilets?
Straight out of the train.
Are you serious? And I thought that was a myth.
No, he said, and it does happen, and it's so filthy. And they refer to it as the white toilet paper plus the human excretion as bangers and mash.
I love it.
So you had a nice little bangers and mash. a banger and a bit of mash coming at you.
Oh, that was brilliant. I had no idea about that. Shit.
Yeah. You know, like sometimes you find yourself on a railway track, or I did once or twice when I was a kid, if you were cutting across a field or if you're going for a walk and you go, oh, wow, look, this is a railway. Just don't go there.
Oh, my God.
Not because you might get killed, but because you might catch something.
Because it's disgusting, yeah.
Because it's revolting.
Oh, man, that's mad. Ba-ba-ba. They scan the beach. Everyone's dead. Arnold grabs her as they make for the beach, removing the gear as they struggle through the waves to get to land. External beach, continuous. Dazed and confused, Teresa holds her hand over her mouth. She can't breathe.
She's like
bangers and mash. She's barking. She stumbles over the bodies of friends. Oh no. Arnold gazes on in shock.
How do you walk around them? Let's see.
I know, right? Sorry. The body count never ends. Never ends. Faint music can be heard under Michael Traver. Traver? Michael was the guy.
The music's underneath him. Okay.
Right.
I thought he was talking or something.
Right. Faint music can be heard from under Michael Traver. They glance at each other and nudge near his body. Arnold rolls him over. It's his cell phone. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. Blasts from the speaker on the roof. Arnold shuts it off. Well, there you go. Exactly what I said before about one of the last songs you hear.
Yeah, exactly. Michael loved that song.
Yeah, he just played it on repeat. Teresa. Arn, what the hell's happened? Arnold is speechless. He stares at Michael's cell phone, punches in a few buttons to get to the camera. Teresa stands over him as she looks on. Oh, here we go. We're going to find out. Michael, off screen.
Yep, going to find out.
Let's rock this beach, yeah? Holy fuck, what's that?
Arnold drops the phone, and with that we fade out. Ah, come on. What happened?
Nobody knows. Again. This script is,
That's good.
I thought it was quite fun. There's a couple of problems with it. But it's to make a point about films. Like, remember that Bird Box everyone was going crazy about on Netflix?
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at something and it makes you go crazy and go and kill people and you never actually find out what it is at the end of the film. I found it so sort of consuming. Like, what is it? And there's just, like, winds at the end of the film just swirling around or something
Like
that. I don't know. It just feels lazy and a bit of a cop-out to me.
Right, and I don't know if it's been like addressed yet. I just started watching The Handmaid's Tale. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Oh, it's brilliant! Yeah.
So I watched I'm a good chunk into it, into the second season, don't know what happened. Like, maybe they tell you eventually, but like something, these colonies and things. I don't know I don't know what's going on yet, but I'm kind of.
Those books. I've read the second book. I haven't read the first one because I've watched the two seasons of it.
And, cool.
There wasn't any major explanation. Just like a power grab, I think. Genuinely. Right. Just by an institution, a power grab, and just trying to roll back laws and legislation, all that sort of thing. It's really good, isn't it, though? Some really good ideas in there.
Oh, my God. So good. And I know it's a bit of a tangent from what we were just talking about, but The path I was following was that, something's happened. Like, it seems radioactive or like some sort of post-apocalyptic waste. I don't know what that is yet, so I'm kind of left at a bit of a... But, oh, my God, yeah, like a total... It struck me straight off the bat that there were, like, super big parallels between what was happening in Iraq and Syria with ISIS.
Oh, really?
Dude, like, the super religious... You have to do this, you have to do this, praise be to, all these greetings and shit you have to do, and you're living under this. That's like living under ISIS in Syria, right?
Wow, fucking hell. I mean, Syria, man, fucking hell.
Right? It's like, that's what struck me initially, like the parallels between what we were hearing in the news about, you know, what was going on over there.
Yeah. There's pictures from Syria from, like, I don't know what decade it is, 70s, 80s, and it looks like Paris.
Man,
it's insane.
Totally. A cameraman I used to work with, until I think I had the conversation with him in 2007, 2008. His daughter was finishing university and she was going to go to Damascus for a couple months. Mm. He said it was his favorite city in the Middle East, like super cultured, the markets, the hotel, just stunning, Damascus and Syria. But now, yeah.
That's such a shame, isn't it?
I know. It is. Okay, very good.
So I thought that was fun. I think there's some issues with it, but I think that thing, I don't know what it's, I'm quite often torn. It's like, do you remember that Radiohead video for the song Just?
And no.
There was like a guy lying on the ground and people come out and say, what are you doing? And he's like, I can't tell you. And there ends up being like a crowd of people asking him constantly throughout the duration of the song. And it builds up and builds and builds and builds.
And you're and like, then here
goes, we go. Okay, and it's like subtitles throughout the song. I'll tell you. And then if it sort of fades out and fades back in again, and they're all lying on the ground, but you don't know what's happened. I'm torn between thinking, fuck off.
Yeah, just tell me, for God's sake.
And also, I've watched like horror films and mystery bits and bobs where like they keep the mystery going to a certain point. And then they show you the thing and it just completely ruins it and you go, well, that's rubbish. So I suppose the mystery is why things are interesting in the first place, isn't it, you know?
Yeah. And you see the horror or the monster or whatever, you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah, there's like, I think it was Insidious. It was quite creepy and the whole thing. And then you see the monster, it looks like fucking Pokemon. Some red thing crawl across the ceiling with a big mad face and you're like, oh, fuck off.
Really? That's it? Come on.
It's awful.
Yeah, I'm going snorkeling with my girl. The sea looks oh so good. You're not coming, Michael. You're creepy as hell. Go listen to Orange Crush. BK, forget about it. I think we should fuck. BK, it's very dark now. I never have any luck. So we both went snorkeling, we didn't fuck, but something's very odd. There's a floaty dead dog, and everyone on the beach is dead.
Very good, well done. So that was, what was that, a mystery? Mystery this week.
Yeah, I would say so. Mystery. Thriller, but scuba diving genre.
So I've picked a genre this week that I don't think we've had before on Bad Screenplays. It's an old-timey western.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a cowboy, but we haven't had a western.
We have.
Was he like a traditional cowboy or was he a dragon?
No, he was riding in a jet on a jet bike or something, wasn't he?
With a metal arm.
The mech arm, yeah. that's one of my favourites.
I don't think Dirty Harry had a mech arm, did he?
No.
No, he certainly didn't.
No, he didn't.
Okay, so you've sent me a script called The Gunslinger, an old-time hitman, I presume that's brackets, by Javier González.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first draft.
First draft productions.
Yep. As is. Okay. External desert day. Nothing. There is only desert. Maybe a wooden fence.
But nothing.
Runs along the side of there's an unpaved road.
There's a road and a fence, sure. But apart from that, nothing.
Apart from that, nothing. A man runs into frame. He is frantic, afraid of something. He falls, quickly gets back up, continues to run, slapstick.
Yeah.
It's like the beginning of Kingpin, where like the younger version, like he's running as like the opening montage, he trips over a fence and lands on his face.
Like, that's within, a film.
Within 2 seconds, you're pissing yourself laughing.
Yeah.
So here we go, a bit of slapstick to get things going.
Right?
Then the gunslinger walks into frame. A tall man wearing a black trench coat and fedora hat. He's a cyber goth cowboy.
He is.
He slowly follows the man
Cyber goth. He's got like rubber spikes on his shoes.
Those big New Rock platform shoes.
Yeah, like 6-inch flat platforms. Yeah.
He's got like 20 belts running around his chest.
And he's holding 2 bottles of Wicked Blue.
And those Matrix t-shirts with the battery.
Yeah.
The man continues to run. Gunslinger is very close behind, puts his hand on his holster, does not pull revolver out. The man again trips, falls on face, stumbles to his feet, turns around, and click, a revolver in the man's face. Gunslinger,
you've been a bad boy, sir. Now what do you reckon I'm gonna do with this here shooting iron?
Shooting iron?
Shooting iron.
He's gonna iron his clothes with steam. Shooting steam.
Yeah, squirts water on him.
The man is too frightened to speak. He only mumbles. Gunslinger chuckles.
I was hired to kill you, you know. That's why I'm chasing you with this here shooting iron.
He said it again.
I'm gonna blow you. I'm gonna steam your brains out.
This here shooting iron.
Because that's just what I do. Steam brains. He's gonna do like chew my brains. He puts his finger on the trigger. Man,
no, wait, please, don't do this. I'll change. I promise.
Gunslinger moves his gun from the man's face. Says nothing for a beat. He thinks.
I don't believe you. And you know why? People don't change. Only times do.
Only times do.
Doesn't make sense. No. He points the gun back at the man's face. The man. But I'm just a normal bartender. The gun explodes. What? Bullets hit the man in the face. Dies instantly. What? Just shot him in the face. The gun exploded.
You shot Marvin in the face.
You shot Marvin. What's going on? There's zero build up, and anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, I'm just a normal bard. Blam!
Bang, bang. Okay. Gunslinger holsters the revolver and walks off. Okay, so this guy he's a bad dude. Internal Western Saloon day. The saloon is full. Card players play their games. Saloon gals serve dancers and deliver drinks. Maybe it should be serve drinks and deliver dancers.
Yeah, right.
Maybe. I don't know. The bartender fills up a few glasses. The front door splits open. Gunslinger enters. Walks to the countertop. Bartender, cleaning glasses, looks at him. What's that guy called on him? Deadwood with the dead weird voice.
What? Lovejoy?
No. He talks like, what do you want? Because all I got is whiskey.
That's right.
He's like a Lovejoy's punch bag, isn't he?
Yeah.
Anyway. Bartender.
What do you want? Because all I got is whiskey.
Gunslinger.
You got any jing?
He's just told him he's only got whiskey.
What bartender. The fuck's jing?
So?
Now what's that? I don't know anything about your shitty slicker drinks. I just got whiskey.
Gunslinger.
Okay, well, I guess I'll just have your head.
He's only got whiskey.
Yeah, just take a whiskey. You don't need to shoot anyone else in the head.
Yeah. Mm. The bartender is shocked, looks up at the gunslinger, then reaches for his own gun. The gunslinger is much quicker. In a split second, his gun is out. Bartender's face explodes.
Hey!
The bartender's face explodes. Just
putting that out there.
Falls to the floor dead.
Well, you will if your face just exploded.
Oh my god. The card players quickly react. Each one grabs their own weapon. Aim, but do not get the chance to shoot. Gunslinger quickly spins around. Bang, bang, bang. Kills each one of them, 2 with 1 bullet.
Whoa.
Okay.
He really wanted jing.
He wanted jing? I need to Google jing. I don't know what it is.
Sounds is it like code
a lower search engine? Jing tea. You want a cup of tea? World's finest green tea.
Jing, Chinese Jing wine.
What? Jing drink.
I don't know.
Jing wine, healthy way to enjoy while maintaining a healthy life concept.
Right, yeah.
So this guy wants to maintain Chinese Jing wine to detox.
Yeah, but he's happy to explode faces.
Yeah, and steam people's faces off. Okay. External saloon day. As the gunslinger exits the saloon, the sheriff and his men run up to him.
Aha.
I think I know what's going to happen here now. They draw their weapons. Sheriff shouting, "Halt! You ain't got no place to run. We outnumber you, slicker." Gunslinger, "You may outnumber me in persons, but I outnumber you in gunpowder."
Gunpowder.
Gunpowder. The sheriff's men look at one another, confused. Bang! The gunslinger shoots. One of the men is taken out. I mean, this guy's a loose cannon, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, he's just taking out lives left and right. Yeah.
Just conversations, and then everyone dies. Okay. The gunslinger shoots. One of the men is taken out. The others open fire. And the gunslinger jumps behind a thick stable. Gunfire continues. The gunslinger checks his revolver. No ammo. I thought he was outnumbering them in gunpowder.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
He's definitely not. Looks over at his horse, spots rifle, waits for the sheriff and men to run out of ammo. The gunfire stops. The sheriff and his men quickly start to reload. Gunslinger jumps out from behind the stable, grabs his rifle and shoots down all of the sheriff's men.
Well, he's a man of his word.
He was. Only the sheriff is left alive. No more ammo in the rifle. Sheriff, we're both out of ammo in our iron. Why don't we settle this like real men? Hands only? Gunslinger, hands only, huh? All right, hands only. Man to man. Let's do that. It's like, remember GoldenEye years ago in the N64?
Yeah.
Where you play for hours and hours and hours with your mate. And then you go, okay, let's just do slaps only. And you just run each other and just slap each other.
Yes, that's just right.
Pulling the trigger. And then that, the noise it makes when you get hit was like, constantly slapping someone.
That's right. Oh my God. I haven't thought about that in years.
And you watch the energy trick going down, and then one of you just pull a gun out and shoot the other one. Sheriff throws gun down. Gunslinger throws gun down. A beat. The sheriff sprints towards the gunslinger, fists up. He's running with his fists up.
Yeah, he's got his dukes up. Yeah.
Just running at him. When the sheriff is within reaching distance, the gunslinger pulls out a large knife, stabs sheriff in the top of the head. Oh my God. Just picture the sheriff sprinting at him. Terrified, fists in the air.
Yeah.
Into a knife, just gets stabs in the head.
Straight
in the
down,
head.
Like into a pumpkin, yeah.
Oh my God. The sheriff hits the floor dead. Gunslinger pulls the knife out of sheriff's head. He picks up rifle, jumps on horse, rides off. Wow.
Yeah.
This is just a trail of destruction behind this guy, isn't it?
I know.
External second saloon. Oh no.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't stop yet.
Day. The gunslinger rides up on horseback, jumps off horse, ties his steed up. A drunk sees the gunslinger doing this and whistles. Drunk, "One beauty of a horse." The gunslinger ignores the drunk, walks into the saloon. I'm surprised he didn't stab his face off or something.
Yeah, beat his head in with the butt of his rifle.
Yeah, just because that's what he does.
Yeah.
So one person managed to get away. Internal second saloon day. The gunslinger walks up to the bartender, does not say a word. Bartender smiles at him.
Hey, just so I'm picturing this right, if First Draft Productions was to pick this up,
yeah,
if we are going to green light it, who's your gunslinger?
Who's your gunslinger? Like a steely sort of callous sort of dude, like. I really don't like Sean Penn as an actor. I think he's dead overrated. But when the Gunslinger came up, he was in a was he in a film called The Gunslinger or The Gunman, something.
Gunman.
I instantly thought of Sean Penn, but I don't like him. But that's all I can picture is Sean Penn's stupid face.
I watched The Gunman.
Was it good?
I can't remember.
It must have been very good then.
It was quite...
It must have been amazing.
I think he did that, like, out of hate. Remember when he just, like, got out of Haiti? He went into Haiti for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, after the earthquake, he, like, ran a camp.
Oh, is he like, a good guy?
Apparently he's a good guy.
Ah, oh, no, never mind. I feel a bit bad now.
No, don't. But no, for Sean Penn, my takeaway from that movie was, like, what great shape Sean Penn is for... his age.
Oh yeah. Oh really?
Oh my god,
he's just been like putting serious hours in,
dude. There's 20 year olds like who are jealous of that guy.
No way. He's married to Charlize Theron, isn't he, or wasn't he?
No.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? He was married to Madonna as well. He's like I mean he's got something.
I'd like to have a bevy with him just to see like if he was sound or not.
I get the impression he's ultra deep, pretentious Hollywood.
That's what, you know, I think.
You know that Orlando Bloom, like, daily routine thing that popped up recently, the Mark Wahlberg one?
Yeah!
8.5 seconds to contemplate life while I look at fruit and... Oh,
Did you see like that Cockney EastEnder reading out Orlando Bloom's...
No. No. Oh, God. I need to see this now.
Yeah, I like to earn my breakfast, so I'll just have some green powders that I mix with brain octane oil, a collagen powder for my hair and nails, of course, and some protein. And then I'll go for a hike whilst I listen to Nirvana or Stone Temple Pilots or something. And by 9 a.m. it's breakfast, you know, which is usually porridge, a little hazelnut milk, cinnamon, vanilla paste, hazelnuts, goji berries, a vegan protein powder, and a cup of PG Tips, of course. I'm 90% plant-based, you know, so I'll eat, you know, a good piece of red meat once a month or something, you know. Sometimes I look at a cow, you know, and I just think that's the most beautiful thing ever, you know.
You think Sean Penn's like that?
Yeah, I do. You know, like Chris Martin, he just disappears up his own arsehole.
Oh, my God.
You know, like these people who live in LA.
And Gwyneth Paltrow, fucking hell.
Yeah, just like with mutual uncoupling, like, you know, you split up.
I know, yeah.
All that stuff where you're in a sheltered world for a couple of decades and then reality doesn't exist outside it. I get the impression Sean Penn's one of those guys. I could be totally wrong if he's going to Haiti and... you know, helping people out and doing stuff like that. But that's my impression of the guy.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. This is based on nothing, by the way. It's me just being dead judgmental on him. But anyway.
Oh, God.
I'm allowed to do that. Okay.
It's your prerogative.
The gunslinger walks up to the bartender. Does not say a word. The bartender smiles at him. Bartender, ask no ads.
Ask no ads? Oh.
Gunslinger,
I ain't here for no favour. Did your damn job.
Bartender. Oh. Hey, don't be airing lung in my saloon. And if you're finished with your job, well, then I'll gladly pay you. Money's in the bag. Go along in, I'll meet up with you. Gunslinger stares down the bartender, then stabs his face off. No.
Gunslinger.
Bang, bang. Bang, bang. Gunslinger stares down the bartender, then walks into the back. Internal saloon, back room day. The back room is nice. There's a sofa, private bar in the corner, and a record player.
Oh yeah.
Gunslinger sits on the sofa. He takes off his hat and coat. As he does, sets them aside. A beat later, the bartender enters. Bartender, your money's over there. He walks behind the private bar, pulls out a bag, tosses into the gunslinger's lap. He opens the bag, pours the money onto the table in front of him, starts to count the money. Meanwhile, the bartender makes a drink. Care for a drink?
Why not? My job is done. I can celebrate.
Yeah.
The bartender... I'm doing a bit of a Seagal voice, maybe. He's a Seagal cowboy.
You're doing a Clint Eastwood, I think.
Am I?
A little bit.
Doing a generic sort of...
Dirty Harry cut. Yeah.
You just slip into these stupid tropes, don't you? The bartender finishes making the second drink, brings it to the gunslinger. Bartender, do you know why I hired you? A man from the city? Gunslinger.
Wasn't because I was cheaper, that's for sure.
Gunslinger raises the glass to his mouth. He notices something inside it. This is bangers and mash. Gunslinger. Gunslinger doesn't talk like that. Gunslinger. This isn't all the money, is it? Bartender. Let me finish what I was... I hired you because I needed someone from out of town. Someone who couldn't be asked by these townspeople what happened to all the other bartenders. Who hired you to kill him? You just kill and get out of town. Gunslinger.
So why do you want me dead?
The bartender spits out the liquor, looks up at the gunslinger who's standing up. Here we go. Jumps behind the private bar. I mean, if I had a private bar and someone was going to shoot me, I wouldn't jump behind it because it's all going to get ruined, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, it's going to be a nice cherry wood or something. Or
Nice decorative panels on the front and you know, all your good stuff in there.
Yeah, your good liquor.
Yeah. Gunslinger reaches for his gun. It's not there. He turns to see a henchman. Just a henchman. Just like a James Bond henchman.
Let's call him Nigel.
You haven't even got a name tag.
Nigel!
throwing his fist at him. Bam! The gunslinger flies and flips over the sofa.
Uh-oh.
He's flying through the sofa.
Yes.
Wow. It's like, did you play Red Dead Redemption 2?
No, you know what? I never did. I heard all the hype and I had every intention, but I never.
I mean, oh God, you could talk about that game for so long. It's excellent. It's insanely polished. It's a very, very, very good game.
Really?
It's just too big and there's just too many things to do.
Yeah.
It's so big. Like
Cyberpunk?
Apparently it's a lot like Cyberpunk, yeah. I haven't played that. Have you played that?
No.
It's had all these problems, but I presume it's all fixed now. You know,
that's what I think. I think they've patched the shit out of it, and it should be good. Maybe I will.
Yeah, it had all this stuff surrounding it. It's like this total bomb, but it was still the biggest seller game of last year, and sold millions and millions of copies, and they're going to fix it, so, you know.
Right.
But, Red Dead Redemption 2, there was just so much to do. It was insane how much they crammed into that game. But one of the good things, like if you, like me, I like to YouTube funny glitches from any massive game like that because you stumble across a few and you go, there's got to be more of these.
Yeah,
and one of them was similar to that where like you just like bump into someone and they just fly up into the sky or something like that.
Still walking like in one spot. Yeah.
Yeah, just walking into a corner with that like slow walk.
Right.
Or like your horse, you'll jump off your horse and it'll just lie down and go on fire or something like that. It's great.
Okay.
So this guy's just glitched out into the wall. The henchman picks the gunslinger back up and raises his fist. The gunslinger quickly acts, grabbing a glass of liquor, smash. He breaks it over the henchman's head. The henchman's head starts to bleed. His skin starts to melt away. What? Is it glitching or is it acid in the glass?
Glass of acid.
That's a nice glass of acid.
Oh my God.
The glass would melt. They haven't got the special polymer plastic to withhold acid back in these days, have they, surely?
Well, the one Walter White suggested they used to... him and Jesse.
Yeah, I got That's all my right. scientific knowledge from fiction.
Yeah.
Surely that doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah.
Angel on. Gunpowder pellets falling on the floor. I think it might be Angle.
Oh.
This is some special power. It's Angel on. He turns into like
Angel.
The bartender reaches for his rifle. He shoots it at the gunslinger, hits him in the shoulder. Gunslinger screams. I just imagine a dead high pitched female scream.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Like a cartoon scream. Bartender. Don't move, because I'll use this shooting iron to blow off their heads and face, to steam off their handsome face of yours. Gunslinger does not move. A beat. The gunslinger quickly grabs his knife, throws it at the bartender. The knife stabs the bartender in the gut. That's a good sound.
Thanks.
You not only are you good at comping in sound effects, you're good at producing them for you.
I'm
going to
do all the sound effects live this week.
Oh, man, that would be quite fun, actually. The second henchman runs in, sees the mess, and he just runs out.
Yeah.
Now, runs towards the gunslinger. The gunslinger, just like, oh, sorry, wrong door.
Yeah, nope.
Nope.
I'm going home.
The gunslinger grabs the man. The henchman's hand presses against the gunslinger's shot-up shoulder. The gunslinger screams. Then he spins around. This calls for the henchman to fly at the bartender.
Just across the room.
He's glitching out now, too.
Yeah.
The henchman crashes into the bartender. The knife is pushed farther into the bartender's gut. The bartender falls dead.
Oh.
As the gunslinger kneels down on the ground, the henchman gets up. The gunslinger spots his gun under the sofa, quickly reaches for it. Henchman gets closer to him, and bang! The henchman's head explodes.
Hey!
Fucking hell. Blood flies everywhere. This is so gory.
Yeah.
Not just bullet holes, it's explosions.
I know, right?
The gunslinger gets up, rips a curtain off the wall from behind a private bar, and wraps it around his bloody shoulder. Bloody shoulder.
Bloody shoulder.
His ruddy, bloody shoulder. He walks out. Internal second salute day. Drinkers watch as the gunslinger steps out. Gunslinger to drinkers.
People don't change. Only times do. Keep that in mind. It doesn't make sense.
It still doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make
even
sense.
After you've killed all those people.
He's killed everyone. He slowly walks out of the saloon, holding his arm tight. The drinkers get up, run to the back. Boom! The sound of a loud rifle shot, then a horse galloping off. Wow.
Based okay. Very good.
That was a wild ride, Stu. That was a wild ride.
Wild Wild West, yeah. It was a
wiki,
gore
wiki,
fest,
wild.
Wiki Wiki Wild Wild. Yeah, well, there we go. First Western.
Oh, man, I hope it's not the last.
No, it won't be the last.
It can't be. It can't be. No. I mean, fucking hell. I mean, there's no mechanical giant spiders, but still, you know, everyone died.
Right?
That was fun.
I liked it.
Completely batshit. It made no sense. It had no purpose. It had no setup, no nothing. But, you know, it was loads of fun, and I would quite like to see it on screen.
Yeah, double cross, triple cross, and then, yeah. Mopping up, get
quad
the loose ends.
Cross.
Quad cross. Very good. Very good. Well read.
That was excellent fun, Stu. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. Mucho, mucho.
Getting off of my horse and I've been doing just fine. There's some random peeps, I'm gonna stab them all. It started out with a kill. How did it end up like this? It was only a kill. It was only a kill. Now I'm shooting some men and they're shooting me back. The sheriff's off his horse. Now the sheriff is sick, he's looking pretty dead. I guess that's how you feel when the knife sticks out your head.
So in the last episode we talked about a couple of things. We talked about our Oscar nominations that we said we were going to mention this week. And I've had a good look through the list. Have you managed to put a little short list together?
I have. I think we need to thrash it out together. I've got about five or six. I think we should whittle it down to a list of four or five between the two of us.
Cool.
This episode today that we're currently talking on is going to be out on the 16th of April. Obviously, you know, it's no secret that as me and she were talking, it's not the 16th of April. The Oscars is on the 26th, sorry.
At 1 a.m. our time, so it's the 25th in Los Angeles, right?
Absolutely right. So it's the 16th when this episode comes out. I think before this episode comes out, me and Stuart, I reckon we will have put online on Reddit, Twitter, and everywhere else our shortlist. So by the time this episode comes out, I would expect people to have already started to vote. And then if the Oscars is on the 25th, we'll have another episode on the 23rd. And do you think we announced the winner on the 23rd, Stu, or the week after the Oscars is finished? What do you think?
Well, we should have an opportunity to talk about what happened, right? The winners, the losers, the rest of it. So,
okay, so let's announce the winner of Bad Screenplay's Best Screenplay on Friday the 30th.
There you go.
That gives a little bit of time to sort things out. And the winner will be contacted and you will be sent a trophy. The first inaugural Bad Screenplays Best Screenplay. And you'll hold that title for a whole 12 months.
So in the interest of finding a funny trophy, I googled worst trophies.
Yes, you did.
And there's one that came up. I don't think it was intentionally meant to be the worst trophy. It was for wrestling, but it didn't look like the two guys were wrestling.
I think they were having a. They looked like they were romp with each other.
Maybe we'll try and get hold of that one. Send that out.
You should get hold of that one. So you guys having a great time.
Real good treat.
I mean, they look like they were enjoying themselves, so, you know.
Sure.
So we will put together our shortlist. Unfortunately, we will probably stop looking for scripts as of these two that we're reading out here now.
Yeah, but you know what? If you manage to get your scripts in beforehand and they're on the list, good for you. Well done. If not, keep sending them in. There's another Oscars next year and there'll be another Bad Screenplays Best Script of 2022. And all scripts from now till then will be considered. So please do send them in.
Please keep sending them. We love reading them.
really do.
There's so many fantastic scripts that are like 50, 60, over 100 pages long. And they're fantastic. And some of them are batshit and some of them are hilarious.
I know. But
it's an hour-long episode. We can only really read out scripts that are less than 10 pages on the show or an excerpt with a description of your screenplay. So please, if you've got a massive script, either condense it down, write a silly little one and send it to us, or send us an excerpt, because, again, we love reading them.
There you go. Cool.
So, until next time.
Until next time. Happy golfing.
Yes. I'm looking forward to the day we get to play golf together, shoot up with Boss.
I know, right?
Amazing.
Oh my God, be so good. All right, cool. Have a good week. Speak to you next time.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.